Today we celebrate the baptism of the Lord. In so many ways, we celebrate a beginning, an embrace of what it is that we're about to do. Think about it for a moment. Jesus was baptized. It's kind of a crazy statement if you think about it. Baptism is forgiveness of sins. Baptism is where we admit that we needed a Savior. Baptism is where we see that we need God. We've strayed from the path, that we've sinned, that we need repentance. John's baptism, which is what Jesus engaged in, it was John who baptized him, but John's baptism was admitting that they had done wrong, they had strayed from the life of God, and they wanted to be on the right path again. Why would Jesus be baptized? What sin did he commit? What wrong path had he wandered down that he suddenly found himself away from God? It's kind of amusing to think about it in so many ways. But genuinely, Jesus saw something very important in this action. John, recognizing Jesus, warned everyone. He said, "Someone mightier than I is coming. This one is so much greater than I, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandal so that he can have his feet washed. A job for the lowest of slaves in the house. And I'm not even worthy to do that." And this one who he is not worthy to touch the thong of the sandal comes to him for baptism. It's a terrifying moment for John. But John complies because Jesus insists. And the Holy Spirit comes over him. "You are my beloved son." It's fascinating to me because this is the beginning. This is the very beginning in so many ways. Jesus began his public ministry with his baptism. He started his public life where he went out and became a witness to others. When we are baptized ourselves, we become witnesses. It might seem kind of strange to be a witness when we're an infant, but in so many ways, we become witnesses. No matter what age we are when we're baptized, we begin this. We receive a candle. We receive a candle from the Paschal candle. We receive this light of Christ. It comes right out of the baptismal prayers. Receive the light of Christ. You have been entrusted to keep this burning brightly until you meet with Christ Jesus your Lord. There's a reference that says that we've taken this light from the Paschal candle. We go out with this light into the world. And one day we're going to rejoin it again at our death. It is this reminder to us that this is our beginning. Now for many of us, myself included, this decision was made for you. Someone else made sure that you were baptized. But it's a fascinating thing as we pray this baptism. As we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, we celebrate the end of Christmas, the end of his birth, the end of that wonderful beginning. And what happens at the end of the beginning? Well, we get to the main part of the story. We finish Christmas today, we enter ordinary time tomorrow. Not that it's boring, not that it's disinteresting, but that it's the main part of the story. It's that part where we fully engage in what we've been given, and we see the gifts before us, and now it is up to us to do something with it. There is a challenge placed before us. Regardless of whether you were baptized as an infant or not, the question is your faith your own yet? Will you take it to yourself? You can hear about God. You can take classes about God. You can study about God. I studied lots of classes on Greek mythology. I took lots of classes on the Greek gods. I studied all of their stories. I studied who they were and what they did. I didn't believe in a single one of them. We could take classes about God. We can study about Jesus. We can study about the church. We can receive catechetical instruction until our eyes bleed and our ears fall off. But if we don't take it to ourselves and take it as a part of who we are, if we don't make it our faith, then it's just some class. Like so many other classes, we study it, we pass the test, we move on, and it doesn't really mean much of anything. But genuinely, if we make this faith our own, we engage it in a way so particular and peculiarly ours that it becomes something far more than just a class. It becomes something so much more important than just some facts for a test. It becomes a way of life. You know, it's fascinating to me. But so many of my own friends have told me that, yeah, they heard about this Jesus guy, but, you know, never really happened to them. Jesus didn't part the clouds and tell them that they were really supposed to follow after this. That God was really there. And so, you know, it was just another class. Science had lots of interesting classes, and they went off to college, and they decided that they were very, very smart. And I was fascinated. Because when we look at the baptism of our Lord, it's not the one who's wandered off and decided that, you know, God's got to do everything to sort of come to us and reveal himself, to be the one where the heavens part and a dove comes out. Actually, it's quite the opposite. It's the one who sticks it out day in and day out, constantly seeking after God, constantly making it our own, constantly engaging it in such a way that says, I want this to be a part of my life, that suddenly gets the consolation from God. I'll tell you, in my own life, I never had the heavens part. Didn't happen. I never had a dove hover over me and shine lights. I never had a big booming voice tell me to pursue the priesthood. Well, kind of once. The bishop shouted over the microphone one time that everyone should consider priesthood. So I did have once a big booming voice tell me to consider priesthood, but I'm not sure that was exactly what people were looking for. But I can tell you this. Every day when I was in high school, I genuinely would sit in the silence whenever I could, which only happened at two times of the day, either before everyone got up or after everyone else went to bed, one of the two. Remember, I have three older siblings, so everyone else went to bed. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning. So it was about the same time every single day, whether I was getting up or going to bed. And I asked genuinely, I said, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Am I really supposed to do this priesthood thing? I mean, girls are really pretty. And that marriage thing sounds really nice. I mean, babies are a bit of a whiner, but, you know, they grow up, and, you know, there's more to it than that. Is I really supposed to do this priesthood thing? And I'd wait in the silence. And there was never an answer in the silence. See, that was my turn to talk to God. I had to wait for God to say something to me. And it was fascinating. Because no matter where I went, and no matter what I did, eventually everything started to come back to priesthood. I got a high enough score on my ACT. I could have gone almost anywhere in the country. But I really wanted to go to that one dinky little school that wasn't even accredited yet. And I really wanted to pursue that for a while, just to see what it was. In so many ways, I made friends with so many people. I could have dated any number of people who were excited about the possibility, and I was excited about the possibility. And yet, it was never quite right. It really wasn't supposed to happen. I just knew that I wasn't supposed to do that at that moment. So I had to wait for the next moment. And the amazing thing about it was, as we continue to pursue God, as we continue to chase after what God's looking to give us, as we continue to focus on what God wants in our life, we remember two things. One, God wants us to be happy. And God has a plan for us. If we truly believe both of those things and truly engage both of those things, then at a certain point, we have to, and I mean have to, be asking God what that's going to involve. Because if he wants us to be happy, and he does have a plan, we should at least give him a chance to play that plan out and see where it goes. Well, today's the beginning. Today's the start. Today we celebrate a baptism. Just like our own baptism, all of us receive that light. A light is given to us from the Paschal candle and imparted to us. What are you going to do with it now?